Hey, good evening. As Will said, my family and I are really excited to be here. We are from the city of Milwaukee on the east side, and we live in a part of Milwaukee that is like city Milwaukee. And so while I grew up going to camp, I didn't go to Fort Wilderness. I went to Timberlee, and I had a really great time. My folks live in the Northwoods, so we like coming up here because it's just radically different than Milwaukee. I bring my basketball team up every summer. We come up every fall. Sometimes we'd hit a deer on the highway. It's exciting for everybody involved. And so we love coming up here. And if you come from anywhere like where we're from, and you realize how different the Northwoods is, and there's this adjustment sometime, and you can't do things the same as you do when you're back home. And so for me, with like little kids, just two things I just want to quick give to you before we jump into the scriptures. You get up into the Northwoods, and there's animals, and there's plants everywhere that like aren't in your hometown. So I just want to give you a short piece of advice. It's best to just let them go and leave them alone. So yes, as mentioned, my family and I are from Milwaukee. If you get a chance this week, you can meet my wife of 13 years, Kate. You can meet one of my four incredible children. I've got a rising fifth grader, third grader, first grader, and K-5er. They are the ones that keep me on my toes. And as we talk about following Jesus this week, they are some that most passionately keep me following Jesus. So this week we are taking a look at this idea of following me as I follow Christ. I'll just tell you kind of right up front, I was just talking with Jamie before we got up here. Follow me is it's a classic theme that gets thrown around at like youth conferences and youth group and such. And I remember getting it in the email and then getting the scripture after it and going, huh. There's that second part, and I was like, wow, either they're really on top of it or they're not sure what's going on, and I was glad that it's really on top of it, but then I was like, wait, that's really intimidating. So I just want to say up front, before we unpack this all week long, it's really challenged me and driven me to my knees to stand up here and talk to you about, in some sense, why you should follow me as I follow Jesus. I've been following Jesus for 20-ish years, and I'm excited to share with you what I've learned, mostly through trial and error, emphasis on the error part, and hopefully the Spirit of God will move with us this week, and you'll be able to take something from our time here back with you as you learn to continue to follow Jesus. I want to play around with a triangle like all week long. It might only just make sense to me, but I was going to share the triangle with you like the whole time. So my wife is an art teacher, and she's helping me learn how to be visual as well. So we'll see how the triangle thing works. Like maybe at the end of the week, when if you have those little cards that are like, yeah, camp was awesome. The speaker and his triangles, I didn't get any of that. But you know, everything else was cool. And I will totally take that home and do what I can with it. So I figured I would start with my story. My students in Milwaukee, who I love dearly, have all these little cute phrases that they always fire at me all the time. And in my school, if you're a new teacher there and you step into a classroom and you start to tell kids what to do, one of the things they love to say is, who is you? And so maybe you're thinking it, maybe you didn't say it that way, but you're thinking, well, who are you? You're going to tell us to follow you as you follow Christ. So I wanted to take this time to do that, because what we're ultimately trying to do here is, I'm thinking tonight about three things. There's you and there's me. I'm saying to you, you should follow me as I'm following Jesus. So this is one of the things we'll kind of look at. This is where our conversation is going to center. Tonight, though, we're going to talk about me and how I got here. I have one mom, one dad, one sister. And both my parents started following Jesus when I was about kindergarten. So I grew up around people following Jesus. As long as I can remember, I've been in the church, kind of what Will was talking about. I've been around people that gather. I saw what followers of Jesus do. And I want to share with you a little bit tonight about what that's done to me. As a kid, I can remember that being a Christian or being someone who follows Jesus could be summed up in three statements. You can't earn your way into Jesus' kingdom. You have to ask him if you want in on that, and then you're supposed to tell other people the first two steps. That was my understanding of following Jesus. Now, admittedly, I wasn't always listening, so there could have been a lot more of that communicated, but that was what I came away with. And as I've got older and grown and tried to follow Jesus closer, those three steps, though they are a part of following Jesus, I don't think that's all there is to Christianity. So if your understanding of following Jesus kind of fits somewhere in there, like hopefully you'll come along with me here and we can grow a little bit together. When I was in grade school, I thought Jesus was pretty cool. I had the picture Bible. Has anybody ever seen one of these in a Goodwill or an ancient bookstore? Incidentally, you know they've updated it, right? Is everyone aware of that? Oh, wow. Well, I'm excited to tell you then. The author of the picture Bible commissioned a guy. It's now called the Adventure or Action Bible. The Action Bible. Yeah, okay, all right then. So some of you did know that. You just don't know where it came from. So I used to read that thing. That was my Bible. Samson was my favorite because he was like the Incredible Hulk, except less green. If you had the picture Bible, I mean, the guy was ginormous, and he was always attacking bad guys and, like, foiling the villains. He was like Sergeant Slaughter, if anybody watches G.I. Joe on Netflix. Sergeant Slaughter, he could take on 100 Cobras and set them on the run. Okay, that's all right. But I don't know if you ever noticed, incidentally, whenever the bad guys outnumber the good guys, especially if it's one, what do the bad guys always do? They form a circle. They'll have like 40 of them and one good guy, and they form a circle, and then they'll come at them one at a time. It's just horrible planning on the bad guy's part, but that's neither here nor there. It didn't matter, though, when it was Samson, right? Because the Spirit of God would come on this guy, and he would grab the jawbone of a donkey, and he'd knock you out. So this is, I thought, oh, man, like Samson is cool, so Jesus is cool. And so that was kind of where I was as a grade schooler. I wrote a report about Jesus. Anybody done that yet? Okay. It was second grade, so I mean, I probably got like an E. Letters, you don't use A, B's, and C's in grade school. Do you at your schools, anybody? Okay. My kids, I get a report card. There's E's all over. I don't know what to do with it. So that was kind of where I was in the second or third grade. Jesus was cool. I was cool with Jesus. He had a picture Bible. We could do this thing. I got to middle school, and I discovered this subculture called youth group. And there were these other kids that I went to school with that I would see on the bus, and we would kind of like run into each other at church, and it was like awkward. It's like when you run into your friends at McDonald's, right? I'm not really here to eat. I was just trying to pick up somebody here. Oh, you guys must like going to McDonald's. Sorry, I don't want to step on your toes there. But my friends and I in middle school, again, what was being communicated to us is that to follow Jesus is you ask him to get into his kingdom. And you go and you tell other people that they can't earn it and they ask it. So that was like middle school for us for following Jesus was we want to invite our friends to follow this Jesus. And usually that meant inviting them to overnighters. I don't know if your churches still do this. It means that your youth pastor has a high threshold for pain or doesn't mind not sleeping at all. You guys still do the lock-ins? Okay, I respect you. I have four kids now, so it's like a lock-in every night, so I don't go to these anymore. But if your youth pastor does, God bless him or her. What we would do, though, is we would go try to find the parts of the church that were supposed to be off limits, and then we would all hide there and stuff. And we would go into the coffee that was meant for Sunday morning for the church, old people, and we would drink all of it, and then just see who was the last person to wimp out and fall asleep at that point. And I'm pretty sure we were supposed to be somewhere else in the building listening to a talk about following Jesus, but we were really jacked up on caffeine and we couldn't find our way around the basement at that point. And that was kind of like my middle school experience of following Jesus. And my friends would come to these events like one time and they'd be like, yeah, you church people are weird. And they would never come back. So my friends and I, not to be deterred though, we would wear like Jesus stickers on our shoes and our backpacks and our trapper keepers. A trapper keeper is a prehistoric device that we used to store paper in. It had Velcro on it, which when we were younger, our shoes had Velcro on them. And you can look it up on Wikipedia if you have time. So that was like how we understood following Jesus was it's our stickers and come to this event. And my experience, like none of our friends were like interested in following this Jesus. So then we got to high school. And when I was a freshman in high school, that was when I started to hear more about, well, following Jesus means like you actually know Jesus and you have a relationship with Jesus. So I started to take these small steps towards knowing this Jesus and following him. And at some point, when all of this was going on in my life, the same friends from middle school who had not followed us to following Jesus, suddenly I found myself turning their direction and just sort of following wherever they were going, which wasn't the same path as Jesus or my church friends. And it was slow and it was gradual, but by the end of my junior year, I found myself pretty comfortable with, I knew how to behave around the Jesus followers and I knew how to behave around those that weren't Jesus followers. Well, we had moved a few times during my childhood, kindergarten, sixth grade, 11th grade, and at this point, by the end of my junior year, I got into some pretty significant trouble, and my parents grounded me for most of the summer. And as soon as I got off of grounding, I got myself back in trouble and got regrounded. And at that point, my parents told me that if I didn't straighten up, I was probably going to jeopardize my entire senior year of high school sports, and they would give me less help in going to college. And so that kind of scared me. I don't know if you ever saw like the Scared Straight stuff that used to be. It's like, you'd bring kids into prison and have them meet like the scariest human beings alive who would like yell at them, don't do drugs, don't commit crimes, right? And you'd be saying, I won't ever do any of that, sir, right? And then they discovered, they do statistics and all this stuff, that no one ever got scared straight. But that seemed like what my parents were trying to pull, and it worked pretty well, that I was like, wow, I gotta chill out with all this stuff. And I still went and, you know, to church and all of that, and kept myself pretty much out of trouble, but deep down inside of me, nothing had really changed. I wasn't really sorry for the wandering. I wasn't upset with myself and like what I was doing, and I certainly was not all in on this Jesus thing. When I graduated from high school, a classmate of mine drowned in a swimming accident with some friends of mine, and suddenly, through the next course of weeks with all this going down, I was confronted for the first time with death and something going on after death. And I had family members that had died, like great-grandparents, but it had never been anybody that was this close to my age. And so watching how people dealt with it, and then suddenly this flood of Sunday school stuff had come back to me, and I began to wonder about the classmate that had died and like my best friends that I was going off to college with. And this set off a chain of events over the next like 2.5 months, seemingly random conversations I would have with friends, run-ins with old friends, church friends, until August 15th of 1995. And I was sitting at a friend's house. There were two of us, and we were out on his porch looking out over the Oshkosh River. And as sometimes happens when you're sitting and looking up into the sky at night, we were just being like all philosophical and talking about all of the ills in the world and all of the great things in the world, and God comes up in this conversation. And one of my buddies says, well, God made us for his entertainment, and he sits in heaven and he just laughs at us because we are such silly creatures. And we like giggled at him and we're like, that's hilarious. And then one of my other friends got really serious. He's like, no, is not what God is like at all. And he proceeds to talk about how much he hates God because God is this and God is this and he's angry and he's controlling and he's judging. And I was like, whoa, I've had 18 years of Sunday school. Like, you're about to get served, sucker. And so I just like laid out, man, like all of my youth pastors and like Sunday school teachers would have been shocked because maybe I was listening. And I had this kid, he was toast. And we just kept going back and forth, and we got back inside, and then he branched out into why Christianity was bogus and all this other stuff, and I was like, all right, deep breath, round two. And now what I remember right in that moment was being stopped, and I was overwhelmed by this presence that I was wrong, but not like what I was saying to him. It was this profound sense that you don't even believe what you're arguing to this guy. And I don't remember how that conversation ended. It was a Saturday, I remember that, because the next morning I got up and I wanted to go to church for the first time. And then when we got to church, for the first time in my life, the hymns made sense. I used to play these games with the hymnals. Any of your churches still use hymnals? And you know how like there's It doesn't go like verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. It goes like the first line of verse 1 and the first line of verse 2. And so what I would do, and my dad loved singing hymns, just a deep baritone, I would just sing straight down the page. Because I thought it'd be cute when we would like catch back up together at like line 1 of verse 1, line 2 of verse 2. No, you guys are some serious folk. Like, none of you act out in church, apparently. So it's just me and maybe one other person here. But that was what I used to do in church when I'd sing. Thank you. Family related. It makes sense. So, but now I understood. It was the strangest thing ever. I understood these hymns, and it blew me away. And then I was like, oh, isn't this the part when like the guy gets up with that book and he tells us what God says? Which I find out is like a pastor, and it's called a sermon and all that stuff. And so for the first time in my life, like, I wanted to hear that. And so this happened 2 weeks before I went away to college, and my parents knew something was up, and they were hoping it was Jesus. And so they bought me a Bible, and I was like, great, because I know Christians have this book. And I knew they have a notebook. Anyone else discovered this? Christians have Bibles and they have notebooks. And I had no clue what you did with that notebook, but I knew that it stayed really close to your Bible. And you would take it out in the morning and you would write stuff in it. I didn't know what got written in it at all. So I went off to college and I was like, all right, here, we're going to do this. And I would get up and my best friend, who would eventually become my best man at my wedding, he was like, you should read the Proverbs, because if you knew the Proverbs, you would know like everything there is to know ever. So that's deep, right? We're like, it's in this book? And so I read the Proverbs, and then I was stuck. I was like, I don't know where to go from there, because the Proverbs are like in the middle. And generally, you don't just open a book in the middle. So that just led to the next like year and a half of I just took off into the New Testament. And I found that like there's entire books that are a page long in there. And then there's some crazy stuff, but it's at the end. And that's why we never got to Revelation when we were in youth group. And then I took off into the Old Testament the next year of school and found out why we didn't talk about most of any of that in Sunday school, especially that one book that's right around Psalms and Proverbs. That everyone in here, your friend has found that book in the middle of your youth pastor's talk. Or maybe it was just me and my best friend, Clint, when he hit me with his elbow. And he was like, RV. I'm like, stop it. The word of God's being preached. No, look. Stop it, Clint. I'm trying to, no, look at this. It's in the Bible. And I was like, it is not, and that is not the Bible. Be quiet. He's like, no, look. So that was how stuff, this would go on with Clint and I all the way up into like 11th grade during a Spanish test when I would get hit with a piece of paper. Open it. No, Clint, open it. And I'd open it up and he'd say like, what's number 14? So I would just crumple it back. I'd write, you idiot, and crumple it up and throw it back at him. And then of course, who got caught? I did, right. So I tell you all that, I'm like, somehow by the grace of God, when I was in college, I got connected with a Christian organization, a church. And then from there, that was when following Jesus for me really became real. And that's, again, I don't know if you like to read your New Testament, and I hope you do. You see guys in Acts where like the Apostle Paul is like, I hate Christians. I'm going to kill them all. And then Jesus knocks him off his horse and like, oh, no, you're not. Oh, wait, yes, I love Jesus. And then he goes on to this huge missionary career. And then there's a guy like Peter, where I don't know if you ever thought of this. And you ever figure out like when Peter became an actual follower of Jesus? I mean, that guy was exciting. Like one minute he's chopping ears off of people. He wants to build houses for Moses and Elijah who have appeared out of nowhere. And then the next minute, like, I don't even know that man, right? So I don't know where you are like on that continuum. But that was almost 20 years ago for me. And so while I'm also fearful, I'm excited, though, over our next few days to just kind of unpack some things that happened in my life that helped me start to make sense out of following Jesus, that helped me get to the unfinished point that I'm at now, and that have helped me as I've turned around now in my classroom with my teams that I coach and with my children, try to make sense out of this following Jesus. So I'm excited to be here with you. I hope you're excited to be at camp. You should be. This is an excitable place. And you have very excitable counselors. So hopefully we're going to have a good time this week, and hopefully Jesus will show up and will compel us to follow him more nearly. Will you pray with me? Father, we are grateful to be alive and awake and to be in the Northwoods. We thank you for the opportunity we have at camp this week to maybe consider things about you that we've never considered before. And we pray that as we're kind of out of our regular routine and while we're having a blast, that you would come and meet us at our meals, at our cabin times, while we're swimming, while we're having a great time, while we're here singing and hearing from you. And may we ultimately leave here wanting to follow you more nearly. We ask this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.